going to be a lot of ground and pound.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in the building.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in that backfield.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented.
MoCareM Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, you know exactly who you need to call. It's MoCareM Injury Lawyers. Them Texans boys, we're getting close. A week from today, they're going to be on the field.
Is
it open? Is it open for us? Are we good to go on Wednesday?
I don't know.
Still waiting on that schedule.
Are we really still waiting on the schedule?
Unless I somehow miss it, yeah. They'll probably send it out between now and the weekend.
I got to believe it was. I believe it was about 94, 95 when I got in that car today, started heading out, and it was absolutely steaming. I got to believe they're going to get in that practice in them mid-morning hours like they have in the past. But either way it goes, we will be there.
Unless D'Amico's feeling frisky.
Yeah, unless he wants to, because he's taking them on the road and giving them a little bit of a break up in, what is it, Virginia up there? He's going to give him a little bit of a break up there.
Northwest Virginia.
Yeah, he's giving a little break up there, so he's going to push the envelope here early on, maybe. I don't know. Hell, I hope not, because I want to be there. Just make sure it's not in the up against when we have to be here. So excited about it. Texans players, again, they report next Tuesday. They'll be on the field Wednesday. Any way it goes, Sports Radio 610 will have boots on the ground, multiple boots on the ground to cover training camp as usual. We're going to kick this thing off and get rolling with the best damn Texans coverage you can find anywhere, without a doubt. It's not even close. So make sure you stay plugged in. Ron, them Rockets, they're still rolling in that NBA Summer League. Did Reed Shepard, is he back to playing, or they shut him down? Is he done?
I know he took a couple of games off. I'm not sure if he's back at it. I hadn't seen any announcement that they're shutting him down. I wouldn't assume he's going to play the whole way throughout.
Right.
But just getting some run in.
Well, I mean, that is
he's getting shots up, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's the off-season watch, right? I mean, there's right now he's the guy that's playing that you go, hey, that can change the way the Rockets look and the way the Rockets, you know, look offensively for damn sure. And what that lineup looks like, the roster looks like moving forward. So keep an eye on that. The Astros are getting that, as we mentioned, much-needed break during the MLB All-Star event. Hader didn't get in the game last night.
Astros played.
No Astros played. They all got introduced, and they didn't get booed. Boy, they we're coming. It's a big day for us.
Coming a long way now.
There is one guy that was an all-star, and that was Hunter Brown. And Ron, you mentioned, I mean, he just keeps winning. He just absolutely keeps winning. I mean, the next step for him is going to be to show up with a dime piece. One of Tom Brady's, well, he's got about six deep now. You know, he's got about a six deep run now here in the last year. He's really enjoying retirement. So if Hunter Brown can just snatch up one of those six, any of those six,
seem
I think.
Seem to be in Hunter's age range.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They seem to be right there. The black on black suit, sunglasses at the All-Star event. I mean, he's absolutely owning that. The biggest takeaway for me from the first half of the Astros season was Hunter Brown's dominance. I know it didn't finish in an ideal fashion the last two games. 11 innings, 11 runs?
11 innings, 10 runs.
Something like that. Yeah, it wasn't an ideal ending to that first half of the season, if you will, leading to the All-Star break. But his dominance was impressive. I look at it as I think this is a legit Hunter Brown arrival. Last year we knew he had some ace-like tendencies and abilities. This is a year. Framber Valdez is pitching lights out. So you can't say that he is the ace. This could be an organization with two aces though. I don't hesitate saying that Hunter Brown has been that good. I mean, he was in the Cy Young conversation. In fact, I saw some of the stats in the best start for an Astros starting pitcher from an ERA standpoint, other than maybe Roger Clemens, I think it was number one, and I think one of Nolan's years, he was number two. But, I mean, he's talking about keeping rare company through the first half. And you know, it gets you to wondering, like, how good can this Hunter Brown kid really be? And, you know, I think we've all seen the talent. We've all seen that he's got the ability. But I am fascinated, Ron, with the intangibles. I'm fascinated with the bulldog on the mound that we've seen. You've mentioned, hey, man, look, keep an eye on it. It might get his ass in trouble. And I agree. But there's a level of dog in him that is it's refreshing to watch. I greatly appreciate it. And you start wondering, how good can this kid really be? And then you hear stories like this. This is Hunter Brown a little earlier in the year. I don't even know exactly, you know, where. Tyler, do you know where he was when this audio was?
I'm not sure.
But this is Hunter Brown talking about when he struggled, oddly enough, against them Kansas City Chiefs at one point earlier in the season.
The Chiefs?
I'm sorry. I was looking at Ron. The Royals.
I was like, as tough as that pigskin around.
Yeah, no. He, I would not doubt it. He probably hey, could, it, right? Hunter. And he must be referring to a start last year because he's talking to Bregman as well in this piece. But nonetheless, the point is how good can this kid be? The sky's the limit when this is the approach.
I had an awful, awful start against Kansas City, but I felt like my stuff was fine. So I started around the clubhouse. I'm like, all right, guys.
Help.
Am I tipping? You know, I finally got to Tuve. I said, hey, Tuve, how would you hit off me? Oh, Bobby, easy. Fastball's away. Look hard away. And I'm like, man, he didn't even think about it. You know, and obviously it's Jose Altuve. Sure. The guy's got 2,300 hits.
Yeah.
But when he didn't even blink, I was like, all right, what can I do? So I talked to Breggy, and he was like, man, it doesn't even have to be good. You got to throw something that can get in on some righties. I went into the bullpen that next day, told the pitching coaches. I said, you know, I'm going to start throwing sinkers. They were like, oh, really? It was average, but, you know, big league average is pretty good at times. Julio Rodriguez was up, and then I punched him 3-2 on a two, and I'm like, all right.
Come on.
We got something.
Come on.
I mean, how, like, the ability for an athlete of that caliber to care enough to go to his teammates and say, hey, man, what do y'all think? The ability at that point to listen to it, retain it, and then go down in the bullpen and apply it well enough to where shortly after that, you go out and you have success with it. I mean, with that approach, point is, with that approach, Hunter Brown and his ability, with that approach, Ron, I mean, I don't know that this guy doesn't just keep getting better and better and better.
That boy Altuve said, funny you should ask.
Why do you think he calls him Bobby, I mean, he by didn't, the
way? Yeah, I know. That, I don't even think he even thought of it. Oh, easy. Like, he could have said, well, man, you're throwing some good stuff out there, man. You throw it. But I would, if it were me, now he said, oh, easy, dog. I said, away. Fastballs away. And he has since that time shown sure. to improve. And that's the big thing is to me is he's become, and I think that's showing an example of it, become more of a pitcher than a thrower.
Yeah.
Like there's more thought going behind and reasoning why he's throwing stuff. And guys like Bregman and Altuve helped him to hit.
Right. Well, that kind of stuff just turns me on. I mean, it's to have a guy with that kind of ability to hang his ego at the door and ask guys. By the way, Altuve saying, the power pitches outside is like, Altuve, you'd be trying to pull it. You damn sure be trying. You wouldn't go with it. You'd be trying to pull it. And by the way, the other part of that audio right there, Ron, is, you know, we talk about it a lot, and I think it's extremely valuable. But the clubhouse chemistry that the Astros have that we talk about so often that seems to be so different than most other places, and it seems to be a real weapon for them year in, year out, because they have youth come in and perform well. They have turnover at the top, and guys continue to step up and play well. It's a real weapon. But again, that is that when you got a clubhouse that has that kind of ability to help young pitchers reach their best. I don't know how common it is. I don't know how common it is for a young pitcher to want that advice. But I don't know how common it is for the best players, the best hitters on a team to care enough to pay attention enough to be able to help them. But I know in Houston that's a real weapon. We've heard it time and time. Was it Spencer Arrighetti or was it Hunter Brown again last couple years ago?
It was Spencer Arrighetti with Bregman.
On the plane,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. And that, well, listen, he got to a point where he gave up 9 runs in the first inning. And so I guess maybe he was ready and open to go talking to people.
Pushed him to it.
Hell, man, I give up 9 in the first inning, man. I got to go talk to somebody.
Right. Well, that's just a look. I think it's indicative of that chemistry clubhouse that's so powerful in Houston, and one of the reasons why they may have a 5-game lead in the division, although they've been ravaged by injuries and ended that first half of the season on a 1-5 stretch, and they're still 5 up in the division. That may be That may be why. Guys, there's the one thing we hadn't talked much about is the SEC Media Days. And there's a lot going on. I know Tyler was sending the messages out of Sarkisian. What did they do? At SEC Media Days, Sarkisian got introduced to A&M's
There was a Tyler back there running that.
The Aggie wore him is what old Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian walked out to.
How do you think that happened?
I don't know, but I love it.
That is funny as hell. I ain't got a dog in the fight. That is funny as hell.
He didn't check up either.
That's too coincidental. That's not as easy as you look down on the sound bar after he was introduced and you just saw the word Texas first and you played the first thing and it was A&M. Like that's too coincidental.
Nah, man, you got to have that one right.
Absolutely got to have that one
right. You got to have that one right.
Turd nominee for Thursday, by the way.
Oh, I don't know why he's going to make your turd list. You ought to absolutely love it. I mean, is Sarkisian? Did he say something? I didn't see the.
You'll see. No, it's not Sark. It's the person doing what I do, like for you guys, running these music beds underneath you and messing up.
So do we know who did it? We have an idea.
I don't know. It's probably some intern.
We need to get Pablo Torre on it. Pablo's investigating everything. We need to get Pablo Torre on it, and that son of a gun needs to show his face.
Investigator Pablo.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's a beautiful moment.
I want to hear it.
Investigator Pablo. Well, one thing with the SEC Media Days coming is obviously every coach is extremely high on their team. But like we've been doing with the NFL, these rankings come out. And, Ron, the SEC quarterbacks, this is interesting because I do think you're going to have some really, really, really good quarterback play across the league in the SEC. I know there's been years where the SEC has been down or it's been just a couple of guys that carry the load. But this year, if you look at the SEC – and we're in SEC country now with Texas and Texas A&M being in the SEC. You look at the quarterbacks that are out there, man, and there is, I mean, there's some guys from 9 to 16 on this list. By the way, Zach, did you know Zach Calzada, your boy, starting at Kentucky? Starting quarterback?
I did not.
But there's some dudes on that right side over there. Jackson Arnold that transferred from OU is a five-star that's gone to Auburn. The kid Mateer, that I believe is how you say his name, that transferred from I believe it's Washington State, that lit it up. The Gunner Stockton kid that you saw come in last year from the Georgia game, that big kid that can run it downhill, big physical kid.
Yeah, he looks like he's 32.
Right, Ron. They're all on the right side, by the way. They're all on the right side of these rankings, 9 through 16. Check these SEC quarterbacks that you're going to see play this year in SEC country. Garrett Nussmeier.
Many people may believe is actually the best quarterback in the country.
Yes, and there's already Heisman conversations, right? Lenoris Sellers, who I believe has a chance to be the best quarterback in the country at the college level. I don't know how he's going to mature and develop into a pro, but when it comes to that big dude that can spin it and absolutely roll athletically, that's the dude to watch. They got him as a number two quarterback. DJ Lagway, Houston product right here, he is a beast as well. If he can stay healthy, he is an absolute beast in Florida. Word is that Billy Napier's got his best Florida team since he's been there, and DJ Lagway's gone. How about this? Arch Manning. They've got Arch Manning as the number four quarterback in.
You're guaranteed Heisman winner, basically, guys.
That's where I was going with this.
He's talked a little higher than nationally.
It's Heisman, it's this, it's that. And then you look at the SEC rankings, and he's fourth, right? Which I think this is probably more fair and more accurate. And if you listen to Arch Manning, like Arch is like, I don't know where they get those rankings from, man. What have I played, two games?
He's already locked in for an NFL MVP, bro.
Isn't it wild? Number one overall pick, Heisman. I'm thinking, what are we doing? This seems to be more realistic. Now, he may end up being the best guy. He may end up winning a Heisman. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt with that last name.
I don't see how he isn't.
Right, that's right. Tyler, your guy finished seventh. Marcell Reed is seventh, which I think is generous.
No, I'm good with that.
I think he's generous. I do. I like Marcell Reed. I was a fan of Marcell Reed being the guy at A&M before. I think his game, if
you think
his
he's
game
better than your guy,
they are very similar, and I think my guy's probably more athletic. my guy's also 6'6". So it's a different animal there. But I think they are two.
Yeah, I'm good with seven.
I think if those two guys, Marcel Reed at A&M and Taylen Green at Arkansas, if those two guys develop into not even great, but just getting the ball out on time, throwing the ball accurately, consistently, they will absolutely skyrocket to the top of this list and cause some problems because they've got the athletic ability that most of these guys don't have. And so
Don't sleep on Ty Simpson.
I ain't got Ty. I mean, I know he's been at Alabama for about. I know he's been at Alabama for a while. We'll see.
Oh, Ty Simpson and Jackson Arnold, man, don't mess with the planes.
That's it, baby. Yeah. But yeah, these quarterbacks in the SEC, man, I don't know how Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt. He got a seventh or eighth year of college football. He got granted.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was pretty good.
They got him ranked fifth in the SEC.
What's Aaron's brother, Jordan Rogers? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I don't know what everybody's talking about with this Arch Manning. He said, I got him as the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the conference.
Well, no, I agree.
2026 NFL MVP?
I agree. I wasn't overly – like, the thing about Arch is when he came out, he wasn't a guy that was, like, would blow you away with athletic ability or arm talent or arm strength. I mean, good player. I mean, I think he's a four-star or whatever. I mean, that's fine. But – I mean, until you see a kid like that play, you can't lean into arm strength or arm talent or size and go, boy, this kid's going to be a real game changer if the stars align.
Last name, Manning, and he's wearing burnt orange,
that's
bro.
Right.
It's all locked in and ready to go.
Fair. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's. We'll watch it. We'll see what happens.
I need him to be great. All right, coming up, an update on one of the injured players for your Houston Astros. We'll let you know about that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Shout out to Will Conkle, Big Conk, who was with us in the 3 o'clock hour. If you missed any of that, you can go back.
I guess.
We talked about that with nicknames, boys. Should that really be a Big Conk?
Not anymore. Not after today.
I mean, don't do that.
I don't do whatever the hell I want, Dirty Red. And after today, I'm not calling him anything but William from now on.
Yeah, don't call him
Bill.
I mean, I'm just Bill asking, is he a big conk?
He was.
He is. He's still a Bill big conk. You can't go off of it just because you disagreed with the take that he had.
Crapped all over my face.
Trey of Texas, Willie Kunkel.
Wilsif.
I don't think it's Wilson.
It just like when he walks in the door, I feel like we're misleading.
What do you have him as? You want to? If you're,
I want to
cuss
him out right now.
If Tyler wants to fight him,
if you're wanting to change him, what do you have a suggestion of where you want to go for instead of the big conk? I mean, it's
the big conkaroo.
We got people saying it here on the text line whenever he comes on. Big conk.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good, but he just doesn't look like a big conk.
He does not give you when he's, but he's really getting he's really leaning into it with the barking, though.
Yeah, I mean, he has the owner. It's his last name, and he's probably had plenty of experience with it. I just don't. I mean, I think we leave Conk out and go with Will. I think we go with some level of
Will the Thrill.
That there you go, Pretty Willie.
He is pretty.
Remember Pretty Willie back in the day? Yeah. What was that song about? Anthony Lucas put me on.
Hard no for that one.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, something a little more Will Kunkelish instead of, like, Big Kunk. He don't look like either.
I think you're
misleading the folks.
Well, Big Kunk's done.
Is this like a, like, the Big Phil thing where he does
in a roundabout way. Yeah. Big Kunk sounds like a big, burly, sloppy, don't give a rip about much kind of guy. He just ain't that guy.
Yeah, somebody.
I mean, that hair's right. That polo's starched.
Somebody called him a Debbie Downer.
Well, I mean, I'm sure right now is not the time that we need to be discussing his nickname. But this text line will absolutely destroy him after that take he had. But
by the way, update here on our Wikipedia page. If you missed it earlier, just happened to be roaming around there on the old internets yesterday, and I got to the Sports Radio 610 page, and they had all the personalities, past and present. And I looked on there, and I mean, they've got them all, everybody. everybody on there, past and present, including the likes of Clint Sterner, the likes of Seth Payne, the likes of John McClain, Nick Wright, the likes of formers, Freddie Davis, Landry Locker, Friggy Fig is on here, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton. Didn't have Tyler or myself or Brandon Scott on there.
Probably, frankly, it's bull.
It really is. John Lopez, of course, is on there. Someone earlier, speaking of Will, added Will Conkle on there as a contributor to the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Amateur hour.
Somebody has now placed Jim Nantz, a contributor to the Drive and Sterner and Hughley. And
I got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
And I reject and rebuke that bull.
Hold on, so.
He was an asshat on this show one time.
He was a contributor, but it was just once.
Then underneath that, Clint, it has Larry and Stafford, legendary listener and contributor.
Now I'm really, I'm really now going to get pissed off.
Well, we need to get one with Jim. And now, nasty-ass Jim.
And now it has...
Deceased.
Tyler Milner, producer of The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Somebody finally put it on there?
Good job, Drive family.
You
better
made
late
the
than
wiki,
never.
Huh?
Yes. That and makes me all kinds
I am still hunting. I don't know who Derek Fogle is, but he's on the list.
McLovin?
I don't know who Patrick McClellan is. He's on the list. I still can't seem to find mine.
They don't have Ron the Show on there?
No.
Ron the Show Hughley.
I'll just take Ron Hughley.
You did have the mention, though, in like the programming list.
Well, it
out
does.
Of the schedule.
It does. It has you. It says Sterner and Hughley.
You're listed three times. You got your name on there three times, man.
Four. It has it Clint Sterner, the host of The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. And then it has contributors with Will, Tyler, and Jim Nantz.
And Jim Nantz, that's right. I'll be damned.
I see a problem, though. Not to be too picky, Drive family, but you didn't quite complete the assignment like super
accurately.
They leave
a word off for you? They leave executive for you?
Yeah, my title's wrong. Tyler Milner, producer. Excuse me. That would be
executive.
Mr. Executive.
Executive producer.
Asshats. Come on, get it together. So close.
I mean, your expectations are unrealistic. I mean, they're the ones that put you on there, man.
This is clearly personal, as I'm seeing.
Obvious.
Well, it's no longer personal to anybody but you.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm fine with it. I stand alone on my own list.
It doesn't seem like you are.
I'm fine. No, I am.
You brought it up three times on the show today.
Well, I'd
rather not be listed.
Refreshed it a couple of times, and it just shows up, and it's Richie.
I'd rather not be listed than have my title wrong, to be honest.
Reggie Editula. I mean, I came up with the idea for the damn radio phone.
That exactly holds a lot of weight.
No less my name was second just because my name rhymes with Fawn. Jesus.
Ron's idea. He can't even get on a Wikipedia.
I can't even get on it.
Anger sharks are swimming
in
my
Reggie's
head.
Been here 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's BS,
my blood,
man.
Sweat, and tears.
Love you, Reg, but...
Get me started on Sean Bajani.
You ain't lying.
Somebody got to get you on there, man. Y'all put Ron on there.
In fact, I don't want to be on it now.
I want to be taken off. Mark.
That's a lie.
No, and I don't want to be on it. I don't want to be on it. Congratulations, Tyler.
Someone put executive in there, though. Like, for real. That is my title. I don't want to be misrepresented. I'm
at executive part.
Might as well just put board on.
Well, real quick, do you want it to be executive producer? You want it to be EP? You want it, which one do you want? Either one.
I like it spelled out better.
You like it all the way, so that people know, because some people may not know what EP may mean.
True. It can be abbreviated exec.producer. But let's make some moves and get this mission accomplished on a Wednesday.
The Jim Nantz one. Seriously, guys.
You just shut up and let me
do my
job.
He's not a contributor to this show.
Well, what about Robert Flores?
If Robert Flores or Tony Gwynn Jr. gets on there before I do,
I'm faded as hell now.
I'll be fine. They're great. They're good people.
I don't think you're fine.
It seems like everybody who's full time on the staff's on here.
Not all their titles are right.
If Ben gets on there before I do.
Old Ben Gary.
If Ben Gary gets on here, Miami, Florida's Ben Gary.
Hey, keeps the morning guys sounding crisp.
I mean, congratulations to all. Larry and Stafford.
Yeah. Was that on a hot?
No. Oh. Of course not.
You say, was that on a hot mic?
Don't repeat it.
Jazz McCormick is playing in the Florida Coast League. That's a
one boy injury. Jazz.
He went 2 for 3 with a home run.
That's it.
I'm fine. I really am. Let's talk about players that need to step up for the Texans. How about we do that? Can we do that? Let's talk about players who need to step up for the Texans. Who would it be? If you're looking at it right now, who is a player that you look at and say that needs to step up for the Texans? Someone said Harold's going to get on there before you do. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Still not on the Wikipedia page. Clint, we've talked about getting ready for training camp all week, about things that are on our mind. And today the thing that I think is there to discuss, and I see some people texting in already about this. Which Texans, in your mind, needs to take the next step? Who needs to take the next step? Someone has texted in Dalton Schultz. In your mind, when you look at this team, who needs to take the next step for the Texans, in your mind?
Man, there's a lot of guys that we can go with. I'm talking about, we haven't seen this step yet. So kind of up-and-coming type guys that we need to take the next step. There's several of them. I think this one's real. I think this guy is not a household name. I think he's young. I think he's inexperienced. But when I watch practice, I think this guy is ready to take the next step, and I think the opportunity is definitely going to be there. It's Cade Stover, the tight end out of Ohio State. This will be, what, year two for him, right? You know, he hasn't been a tight end long, just in his career, in his football career. Changed positions in college, and he's still super raw. But when I watch him, I believe this is going to be a defensive football team. It's going to win games and hopefully win a championship defensively. Offensively, you need to run the ball. You need to protect the football. You need to stay ahead of the chains. When that's going to be your identity, which I think that's the direction they're going to go with D'Amico Ryan's, you know, shifting here. And with that said, it is a huge advantage to have a tight end that can put his hand in the dirt, that's got that level of dog in him, that plays with a level of physicality, that he doesn't back down from anybody. He brings he's the hammer, not the nail, so to speak. And I think Cade Stover is absolutely that, and that is the exact opposite of Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz prefers to be the hammer. And so I think the opportunity is going to present itself there, both schematically and with the competition in that room. And as we've watched OTAs and we watch him and listen to the coach. I think D'Amico Ryan's had some high praise for him. He is a guy that I think is a better pass catcher, a better route runner than I gave him credit for coming out. I watching him move around during OTAs and during mandatory minicamp, I really like what I've seen from Cade Stover. I think he's just going to get significantly better with every rep that he gets ultimately. And I think that guy, if he takes a big step, could help this offense as much as any. The pool of players that I'm talking about, young guys that are unproven, they need to take that next step. I think Cade Stover taking that step at the tight end position could mean a lot to this football team offensively and help them be I think have the identity that D'Amico wants them to have. I think he could, just like you want that O-line to be more physical, be downhill, be accountable, you know, all that kind of stuff. That applies to the tight end room as well. And I think they're an extension of that O-line. And I think when you're talking about being an extension of an O-line, the best guy for that job in that tight end room is Cade Stover.
Cade Stover is a good one. People looked into the tight end room. As I said, Dalton Schultz was talked about. Someone texted in my opinion, I think Titus Howard needs to take the next step. I can also see Juice Scruggs needing to take the next step.
All of those guys, all three of those guys.
I think those are on your list.
They were on my list. I like the Titus Howard. I just can't just keep on piling on the offensive line. My veteran free agent ad, most important veteran free agent ad that we discussed yesterday was Lakin Tomlinson. I did want to go take that next step with Titus Howard because he's a veteran that we've seen play pretty well, but we haven't seen him play really well at the guard position. So Titus Howard could absolutely have been my pick. In fact, he was my pick. I just ended up going with Cade Stover because he's a little bit younger, and I think it is a true next step. So Titus Howard damn sure is on that list. There ain't no joke about that.
Yeah, I took it a little bit more literal. I took it from a standpoint of, all right, which Texan needs to take the next step? The Texans are in an unusual situation. Because I want to ask both of you this question. Both of you, you can answer. Clint and Tyler. Do you look at the Texans roster and you understand the championship kind of level teams? Do you look at the Texans roster and believe they've got a championship level roster?
No.
Tyler, do you look at the Texans roster? Do you look at it and say they have a championship level roster?
See it to any degree? Yes.
You do. So you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Clint. I don't look at their roster and say they got a championship roster.
Mainly knowing they have the quarterback and I think a big thing is
okay.
The defense.
I'm not telling you how to think yet. Do you believe the coaching staff as a whole is a coaching staff that you would feel could make up for whatever and help you be a championship type team?
No.
You ready to commit? Are you ready for that, Tyler? As a whole, the coaching staff?
Yes.
You think so?
Well, a big question mark, but possible.
So I feel like it's a big question mark. I don't know if you're there yet.
Well, I can't say yes then because we just don't know with Kaylee right
so
now.
No, yeah, so no. And that's why, to me, I think my answer is C.J. Stroud. My answer is C.J. Stroud having to take the next step because...
God bless, brother.
Even though I'm with you, Clint, you were 1-1. I'm with you 0-2. However, I do think it feels like some people have expectations that the Texans are a contender. Like, somehow, I think the Texans have expectations of potentially getting past where they were the last couple of years. And if that's going to happen, to me, it is C.J. Stroud that has to make up for a team that doesn't potentially have the roster to play with other championship-level teams and maybe at the very least incomplete on the coaching staff to know if they can make up. And the thing that can make up for that, and we've seen in this league, Clint, and you've seen it more than I have, is the quarterback being able to make up for that. Because
yep.
I don't look at the Buffalo Bills and say the Buffalo Bills have a championship roster. The roster, I don't look at it and say it. I don't look at their coaching staff and say, boy, they got a championship roster. You know, their OC got fired in Carolina. Like Sean McDermott does weird things all the time. But their quarterback makes up for it. So I think to me, C.J. Stroud is the one that I look at Clint saying. He has got to take the next step to make up for whatever gap it is because his expectations isn't just, oh, win the division. I think people will, around here especially, will be disappointed if they just won the division again. The expectations are higher. And with that being said, I think it's C.J. who's got to take the next step.
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good one. That's the obvious one, right? Is C.J. definitely? We've already seen him play at an extremely elite level, so I need him to get back to that level. But your point is very, very fair. That there's a lot that he's going to have. Last year, you could say, hey man, just make good decisions, distribute the ball accurately, get the playmakers the touches that they need, you know, kind of deal. I mean, this year you're going to have to be a different dude to make Nico Collins and a bunch of others go. You're going to have to be a different dude to make Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Andrew, Jake Andrews, Titus Howard.
Got to make up for it.
Blake Fisher. Like, you're going to have to overcome some things there it's a little different, I think, approach this year than last year. At least going into the season. We'll see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, someone texted in, Texans have a great roster outside of the O-line. I don't wholly agree with that. I think there are some other people would say that there are more, what is a Clint line? There are some other areas that leave
a lot to be desired.
A lot to be desired. There are some other places. I think people would say, I don't know how great their tight end room is. I don't know how great their interior linebacking core is. I don't know how great their interior D line is. But again, I think CJ is, from what we saw year one, because he did it, I think he is absolutely capable of making up for some of the deficiencies that they may have. And again, that's what we're looking at right now. Again, Nico Collins could come out of nowhere like he did 2 years ago, right? Tank Dell could come out of nowhere. When we're going into the seasons, I assure you, we didn't think Nico Collins was going to become a guy who catches 80 balls for 1,300 yards and missed three games, right? Or Tank Dell would be who he was. So that could happen. But as of right now, he seems to be at a point where he is going to have to take the next step to make up for that. And I think he can. All right, a little 5 o'clock fire. The NL won in a way we've never seen one before, the National League. They win the All-Star game. We'll let you know what happened there and the Astros and how they look there. Chaz McCormick, there's an update on him, and it's good. It's good. And some other news around the NBA. A high-money player is going to another Western Conference favorite. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.